This is Vectis Radio, FM 104.6.
It's a Wednesday lunchtime, fresh from Bristol. We have Lisa Beeney in. Welcome back, Lisa.
Thank you. I wouldn't say fresh, but I'm back from Bristol.
Well, every time you go away to somewhere like, you know, you say you're going, you know, abroad to us on the mainland, It's like, what's she doing now? Is she going to go, is she jogging around Bristol? Is she, you know, camping somewhere? And
no, I was down there for the Community Energy England conference. So it's a chance to get together with a lot of other community organisations that promote community ownership of energy within England. So rather than having some of the large corporate organisations owning our energy production, it's how can we get the community involved so that these assets are owned by the community. The government is really behind this, and they would like to see more community energy within the UK so that people locally benefit from what happens locally, which to me seems like a brilliant idea, because if everybody, say, in Cowes benefited from, I don't know, a power production thing, whether it's solar, wind, tidal, whatever, if the local people benefited from that, wouldn't that be good?
Yeah, definitely. This is something that's been running for a while now. You've got the details on the website, but we'll come back to that in a mo, how you can take part. But it like you say, it's taken ownership of it. It's taken the time and the trouble, and this is what people need to do, because it is the future. It definitely is the future, purely and simply because if you don't do this now, if we don't do something like this now, what will happen is your bills are going to get more expensive, and you've got no control over it whatsoever.
There was a very interesting address yesterday from the Minister for Energy, who restated the government's commitment to decarbonising our electricity supply by 2030. So they've got 4.5 years to do this. They pointed out we've got no coal-fired power stations anymore. So they want to switch to totally carbon-free electricity production by the end of 2030. So
they're going to have to get their fingers out then, aren't they?
They are, but when you think about it, 40%, in fact over 40% of our energy now comes from renewables, and they are the cheapest forms of energy. There are still one or two technical hurdles, but we do have the solutions for them in this country. One thing we're really good at in the UK is coming up with solutions to problems. We always have been, whether that was back in the day building canals with steam engines, whatever it is, in the UK we've got a really good background in invention and problem solving. So we have the technology and the solutions to fix this and to change it. We just now need to implement them on the scale needed.
Which is massive, I would imagine. So would it be right that they take their time? Because it just seems like they're dragging their heels a bit and nothing much is happening. You know, that's the vibe that I'm getting. But I'm guessing they've got to get it right. They've got to do the right thing.
It's very difficult when it comes to central government, because there's a lot of people there that want to do the right thing, know what needs doing, but they still have to deal with public opinion. And sometimes the right thing may not necessarily be the most popular thing. And that's a hard one to overcome, especially when you have a large historic industry that's been making a lot of money for a long time. There will be a lot of resistance to change, and they will have a lot of money for lobbying. So it's how do we overcome that? How do we show the benefits of change and make sure that people benefit from it rather than just another large corporation making more money? How do we make sure that this transition to a cleaner energy is actually fair?
Mm.
And it has to be at the end of the day.
I mean, this has been going on for quite some time. How frustrated do you get when you go to Bristol and you're having meetings and you're hearing people talk and so on, and you think, yeah, it's great what you're saying, but when?
It is very frustrating, but you can't just give up.
No, absolutely not, no.
So long as they're still saying the right things, that is a start. But what we would really love to see are the actions to back it up. Because words from any politician, they're lovely.
Yeah.
But they don't actually change anything. What we need are politicians that are actually going to do a something.
Well, let's hope that happens in the near future. Because I just get the feeling sometimes that we're all going around in circles and having loads and loads and loads of meetings and nothing actually ever gets done. And if it was left in your capable hands, you'd get it done. But then we don't know what it's like to be a government minister, have to go and get tied up in lots and lots of legislation and go round in circles. But there has to be a happy medium somewhere, because we do need to get things done. Because as you mentioned, we've got a deadline of 2030.
Yeah.
And how close to that are we?
Well, 4.5 years away. But
but how close are we to actually managing or putting that what's necessary in place?
If you look at what's planned, then yes, we can do it. If everything that's planned gets the go-ahead and the support needed, not just at government level, through planning locally, yes, it's possible. Yes, I'm hopeful. I'm an eternal optimist, so...
You've got to be, haven't you?
Yeah, otherwise we'd all give up tomorrow.
Yeah.
But yes, I think we stand a good chance, even if we're not there 100%, I think we'll be there 80 to 90%.
Which is good. Just coming back to the survey.
Yeah.
Now, the survey is connected, I guess. And if, just say, for instance, not many people sign up to it, is it a case of then people can say, well, no, I was really that bothered, we won't bother with this now, we're focused on something else?
Yes, I mean, the survey that we're doing at the moment is really to get the views of people on the island. What we're looking at doing is a virtual social power plant. So instead of having one big battery to store lots of the excess energy, because on the Isle of Wight, we actually produce more solar power than the island uses, even in the middle of winter. So we could be self-sufficient, but we can't store the power at the moment. And there are times that we're producing far more electricity than can even be sent back to the mainland. So it's switched off. So the plan with the social virtual power plant is that we can take that excess electricity and provide it to people in their homes for a lot less money than they're paying for their electricity at the moment. But we need to know if people would support the project or not. So that's why we have the survey, to see what people are currently doing, what they would like to do, and would they be interested in hearing more about it?
Yeah, and I'd say, to me, it is a no-brainer, as you mentioned this last time, but my fear is, and this is why every islander should get involved in this, because it will make a difference, because my worry, my concern, looking at it from cynical eyes, is that if we don't, and people look at it and think, well, no one's really that bothered, we won't bother with it, we'll go and do something else. And I think that will be the wrong way of doing it. We need to send a message, and the message is quite simple. Get involved with this survey, because it's important, it's the future. It will hopefully help people in the future with their expensive electric and gas that they're paying now. Hopefully you'll have a bit more say in what goes on, and you know, it's like you say, it's fairer. So get involved. So the survey is on your website.
Yep.
And it's very simple. Was there an issue with the website a little while ago where it's...
Yes, I think it was sending people just to sign up to our Fairer Warmth system rather than actually completing the survey. But There is a short code link on our website and a QR code. If you look in the news section, that you'll be able to find it in there really easily.
Okay, so if you did have a problem around a month ago when you were doing it, just retry it. Just go back and do it. It's important that you do. Really, really important.
Yeah, and we'll be emailing everybody that signed up for the Fairer Warmth. Through our Fairer Warmth platform, we'll be sending out an email to everyone there with a link to the survey anyway, just to make it easy.
And there is a deadline on this as well, isn't there?
Yes, end of August.
End of August.
So we've still got time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You've still got the best part of 2 months. But Obviously we're going to encourage a lot more people to do it. And I say, can't stress enough, it's more important you take control of the future of it rather than be dictated to. I'm guessing that's...
But it's also, at the moment... If you've got the money, you can afford to go and buy things like the solar panels and the batteries to have at home. And that gives you cheaper electricity. So if you've got the money, things become cheaper. But if you don't have the money, you're still paying the higher prices.
Yeah.
So this is a method of getting that technology into people's homes. Even if you don't have a roof, you can still have the battery part at home for very little or totally free for as many people as we can, so that everybody can benefit from the cheaper prices rather than just the people that can afford to.
Yeah, fairer. It just makes it more... This isn't connected in any shape or form to an advert that has been... Every time I log on to YouTube, I see the Scottish lady that does the chat show first thing in the morning on ITV telling you about your electric meters.
No, I don't think I've seen that one, but there is something coming up with smart meters that if you've got one of the old Economy 7 meters,
right,
that was operated through the radio tele switches, then you do need to get a smart meter installed. Otherwise, your old meter will stop working and you'll stop getting your cheap rate overnight and you'll end up having to pay full rate all the time for all of your energy.
Hey, look, and if you want more advice, who do we call?
Oh, give us a call on 01983 668 900 or drop us an email at info@greeniow.org.uk.
Or check out the website.
Yeah, have a look at our website. Have a look at us on social media. Look us up on Facebook. We regularly post all of the outreach events and things that we'll be going to. So you can always pop along and see us. We'll be at the Isle of Wight Chambers Business Expo next week. So pop along and see us there. We're also looking at how we can help small businesses, because it's not just individual people. There's a lot of small businesses on the island that, again, we can help. So we can help with their energy use and we can help them reduce their energy use.
Fabulous. So check out the website, send an email, get in contact, and while you're at it, fill out the survey. It'll take you just a couple of minutes to do so. Now, look, we were talking off-air just now, and you mentioned something about carbon oxide, carbon monoxide.
Yep.
Okay, and two people recently sadly passed away.
Yes, there were two people camping. They'd been using a little gas stove in their tent and they both died of carbon monoxide poisoning from that. And they weren't found for, I think, 3 days later. Using any sort of stove in a tent really is not a good idea. We were saying off air, if you're going on holiday anywhere, pop a carbon monoxide alarm in your suitcase with you. If you're going abroad, you don't know how well maintained that boiler is in that holiday apartment. If you've got your own carbon monoxide alarm with you, that will warn you if there is a problem and if it's not working, and that will save your life. I'm with the people in the tent. These little gas cookers, they're not designed to be used in a confined space. They should always be used outside, and they always have warnings on them. But with carbon monoxide, you can't see it, you can't smell it. it just kills you.
Mm. Quietly.
Yeah.
You don't know
they
anything.
They call it the silent killer.
I mean, it's quite horrible to hear. And you think, okay, first of all, why are you doing the cooking inside the tent? You know, I just picture...
Bad weather?
Bad, yeah, I guess so. But then you think, surely that tent would breathe?
Quite often not enough.
Yeah.
It was going back a few years when we were living on the narrow boat. We disconnected the gas on the boat so we could paint the inside of the gas locker. And I thought I'd use my little camping stove just to make a cup of coffee inside the boat. Because it's a boat, we had carbon monoxide alarms in all sorts of places. I lit this stove and within seconds, all of the carbon monoxide alarms went off inside the boat. And I had no idea that this stove was that dangerous.
Wow. So, you know, at home, don't want to alarm anybody, but it's better to be alarmed than not at all. You know, if you've got small spaces and you're doing cooking and stuff, make sure you're ventilated. It's quite straightforward.
Yes, and wherever you have an appliance that burns anything, whether it's gas, whether it's wood, whether it's coal, you should really have a carbon monoxide alarm. If you haven't got one, contact us, email us at info@greeniow.org.uk, because we do have a supply of them that we can provide to people for free. So if you haven't got one and you need one, get in contact.
That's common sense, isn't it? So what are we going to talk about next time you come in?
It's going to be August, isn't it?
It is.
It's going to be really hot.
Yeah, I think we've had the hot, haven't we? It might be cooling off by then. Maybe. Who knows? But
shall we see if anybody listening has queries or questions around energy and energy use and things that they can do at home to improve the warmth of their home? The comfort of their home.
Yeah, that's
see if any of the listeners have got questions that they would like answered.
Okay, and that sounds like a good idea. And something we should point out. Yeah, okay, it's August, but you know that as soon as you get to, I always think this, as soon as you get to August, you've got about 6 weeks left of summer, or 6 weeks left, and then things start to change. So, you know, then is the time to start thinking about, well, now is the time to start thinking about your house through winter. Don't do it when winter's here. You know, the best time to do it is, and we never do that because we think, oh, it's summer, it'll be all right. We've got a couple of months yet. But you get to August and you ain't got long.
If you need any work done on your heating system, now is the time to do it.
Yeah, definitely.
Because as soon as everyone turns their heating on in the autumn and things break and don't work, every single plumber's going to be really busy.
And they're busy anyway, aren't they?
Yeah. You just stand a bit more of a chance this time.
Good luck with getting a plumber.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Lisa. We'll see you, first Wednesday in August.
Yep, I will see you then.